Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Dan Barrill in studio. He's owner and master jerk of Mr. B's Jerky in Southington.
I thought this day would never come.
It's National Beef Jerky Day. All right, we'll get some.
Yeah, give me some meat,
Dan,
man.
Can you give AJ some meat?
What do you recommend?
What do you like?
Was that
or maple syrup?
Oh, hot would be good.
You want to do easy first?
What do you got? Yeah, let's work our way up.
Okay. So maple sticks.
Okay, maple stick.
A maple stick.
Nice.
Real maple sugar from New Hampshire.
Oh, I like that snap. Did you hear that?
Oh, yes, I did.
That's nice and fresh.
Oh, wow, this is good stuff. That's nice. But
we asked the tribe to call in with either slogans or how they make their meat.
Yes.
Their jerky. 203-882-9757. Joe the Barber.
Let's go with the slogan, jerk me, baby.
Jerk me, baby.
Now, how about for the jerk?
That's pretty good.
Now, how about for the jerk? The jerk.
That's actually very good.
I like it. But you keep calling it the jerk. I don't know why.
Why do you do that?
I don't know why.
It's jerky. You can't just shorten a word because...
You know why I'm thinking like jerk chicken? Stuff like that, you know. So, jerky.
It's beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
How is it?
It's delicious.
Yeah.
I love it. It's got a nice peppery taste to it. Easy to chew because I can't do the kind of like, you know, like you have to pull and pull.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, your dentures come
out.
When
it's like a plywood table, it's no good.
Yeah.
When I'm afraid I might lose a tooth.
Yeah.
To me, this isn't, I'll just go find a regular piece of meat.
Right. Or it finally breaks, you punch your friend across the table. Yeah.
What's that the result of when it's like that?
Well, so what usual people do, they make it and they cut it with the grain. So I cut mine across the grain. So it's like when you cut corned beef. So it's actually easier to tear. So it's
interesting.
Wow.
It's across the grain. But still, there's traditional people that cut it with the grain. So
gotcha.
Oh, there's traditional people?
Yeah. That like it that
way. Okay, so they'll give you crap about it? You're cutting it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, no, I don't want to eat a shoe.
Ed in Milford's been making jerky for 40 years.
Oh, it's almost done.
Hello, this is Ed.
Yeah.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
I'm called the Beef Jerky King.
Wow.
I'm the king of jerky. I've shipped jerky all over the world.
You're the king of jerky?
The jerky king.
I make it with flank steak, and I cut it with the grain. And my father used to have a restaurant in Milford called Abby's, and he worked at Sikorsky for 40 years. And he got the recipe from a guy who was walking through the shop in Bridgeport. And my father said, hey, what do you got? He goes, oh, I'm selling jerky. He's like, not in my hangar. And he said, give me a piece of it.
Right.
The guy's like, okay. So my father said, I want the recipe.
You can't sell that in my hangar, but I'll take a piece for free.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
No, my father said, you bring me the recipe tomorrow. The guy said, I can't do it. It's a family recipe. My father said, if you don't bring me the recipe tomorrow, you're not working in Stratford.
Oh.
We're going to ship you back to Texas.
No.
So we got the recipe, and me and my father made it in the oven for the first time.
Your father stole a family recipe from a poor guy.
He strong-armed it from him.
Threatened his job.
Yeah, but I changed the recipe because I perfected it over 5 years.
Nice.
I used to sell it on Metro North when I used to go to New York.
I don't know if I'm going to buy jerky of a train.
This is like Goodfellas.
Right.
But jerky.
Right. We got the beef
jerky fellas.
The beef jerky syndicate over here.
So I work in a machine shop in Milford, Connecticut, Excel Tool. We make parts for the USA. We make everything made American.
Cool.
Nice.
And I make beef jerky for free for the guys at Excel Tool.
Wow, good for you.
Free jerky. Nice.
And I just wanted to throw something out. I'm doing a fundraiser on July 20th for Mo Knox. You guys look him up.
Mo Knox.
He used to be he was a photographer his whole life, and unfortunately he fell in his house. He had to get shipped out to Kalamazoo, Michigan, where his niece lives. And unfortunately, he needs money. He's stuck in a nursing home right now.
Right.
So I'm doing a
those can be some pretty dark places.
Yeah. You got like a jerk off or
what? Yeah. Do you do? So I'm doing a benefit poker tournament on July 20th.
Don't even know her. Wow.
It's going to be the biggest tournament ever in Milford's history.
Nice.
And half of the money we make goes to Mo.
Well, they have
awesome. Mo Knox.
All right.
Cool.
All right, Ed.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, back to
all
the
right, have a good day, guys.
Right, you too.
There is at least one crime involved in that call.
We learned everything we wanted to learn about him, other than the stuff we wanted to learn about what we asked you for. How do you make your jerky, or do you have a slogan?
He was on a roll.
Those are the only two things we're going to the phone for.
Yeah, I'm curious. Did you notice he stole the recipe from another guy and gave us no information on his own?
Right. You didn't tell us how he makes it.
No, he did not.
Is a puzzle stand too close to the jerky maker? How to dehydrate your brain?
Dan's remaining very quiet.
Yes.
Are people very secretive about their jerky recipes?
Most of the people are, but I use dry rub, so I don't show anybody what I use, because a lot of people do the liquid, and they soak it in the soy sauce base or Worcestershire sauce, so that's all you taste when you eat it.
Right.
So I use dry rub, so there's no soy in my product, so you don't taste it. You actually taste the meat and the flavor seasoning.
As should be.
Yes. If you're buying good meat, that's what you want. You want that in the product when you're eating it.
Yes.
Terry in New Britain.
Yeah, hi. Well, since you guys were talking about, you know, being all nice and everything, I think it should just be called something like Nature's Pleasure or something like that, instead of making it like, you know,
Nature's Pleasure.
Thing, you know?
So I'm thinking of a different product then. Or possibly a hygiene wash.
Right? Nature's Pleasure.
I picture a nice meadow.
You got bear meat, you got deer meat, you got, you know, beef. It's nature, so I think it should be something like that.
Right. I don't know.
Just my opinion.
No, it's a good one. You know. It's a good one. Someone
I picture a bottle with flowers on it.
I'm sure
in the pharmacy.
Know, I'm sure Summer's Eve wants that name.
In a particular aisle.
Right.
Well, you know, you guys are like saying dirty type things, you know, like.
Nature's Pleasure's not much better.
Yeah, really.
Nobody said pleasure but you. You brought that to the equation.
I pictured some kind of boutique when you said Nature's Pleasure.
Nature's Meat Pleasure.
You know, if we get stuck in a flood or something, and then you need your jerky with you in your back pocket, you know, that's going to be a pleasure
In a flood, wouldn't it rehydrate and become just meat?
I don't know that the further explanation helped you at all.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there's a hurricane here all the time.
This is like quicksand.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hurricane Sandy, I had to eat, like, packaged food, you know? So.
Okay, well, all right. Now I'm making the connection.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
I thought I was going to have to make it naked.
That's no.
I'm sorry.
You're making really good stuff. You should have, like, a really good name to it. That's all. So that's all it does.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a great day, everybody, okay?
You too. Thanks
so
much. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right, bye.
Bye. The whole point is, like, this is meat you can take with you, so how about I take our meat and stuff it?
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a good slogan.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Get
your jerk on, yeah. I like
him. Yes. Yeah, my oldest daughter came up with that. And
nice.
She lives in San Diego. She came up with it, sent it out, and it sticks. So,
nice.
You know.
I got it. You're good friends with Gary.
Yes.
We're...
Yes. Yeah, a good friend of mine. He helped me start the business. And I always say, if you're going to start a business.
Gary from Pepe's.
Yeah, Gary
Pepe's
Bamonte.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gary Bamonte.
Yes. My opinion only, but the best pizza in the world. But so if you want to succeed, you follow people that succeed. You ask advice from people who succeed. You don't ask them all your buddies who want to come hang out and bring beer and eat
jerky.
Right. So for the business aspect, he did love the jerky. But I asked him all the business stuff and what I should do. And we're going to be going on 8 years. So I think I I think he did a pretty good job helping me.
Great guy. We miss him.
Yep.
Yes.
I see pictures of him every now and then on Facebook. And
yeah.
It's just a great big teddy bear.
Yep.
All love that man.
Very missed. Yes. Yep.
Very missed.
Yes.
Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for bringing your jerky. And AJ enjoyed your meat.
I did. Not often I enjoy men's meat.
Spread happiness. So happy National Beef Jerky Day.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you.
Dan Barrill.
It.
Owner of Mr. B's Jerky in Southington. Gadget guy Steve Greenberg, why is everyone so upset about this?
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons people are upset first was that Elon Musk came out saying that, you know, if anybody brought an Apple device into one of his facilities, once this goes into effect, they'll be banned from the facility. And he put up a bunch of red flags that he's very concerned about it. So I think that kind of raised the conversation about it. But I think just listening to what Apple has to say, and again, you have to believe what they have to say, there seems to be a lot of safeguards in there. There's a lot of you have to approve it before AI is on your Apple device, and it's only Apple 15 and above. Should point that out too.
So that's the headline is they're going to put AI into the new iPhone.
Oh boy.
Right. The current one, the 15 and above, when it becomes iOS 18 and above, it'll have AI on it. And it's going to have three different levels of AI. I mean, it's a little more complicated than – and by the way, calling AI Apple intelligence instead of artificial intelligence, like a smart marketing move.
Right.
But there's going to be an onboard AI, which is very, within your own device. It's just between you and the device. That's one set of it. Then it moves up to an Apple Cloud a level that for tougher things, which again, they have a lot of safeguards. And then after that, there's a third level, which basically uses chat GPT. And at that point, you are, Apple no longer is really under control of any information shared. It's under chat GPT's control, but you have to approve that. And actually, each level, there's an approval process. So you have to say, yes, I want this, or no, I don't want this. But
you can see why the founder of a tech company wouldn't want employees in the building with this, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's Elon Musk, and he may be ahead of us and screaming fire when it really is a fire, or he may just be screaming fire because he likes to scream.
Right.
And it's hard to know where Elon Musk falls and all that. But he came out very strong against this. But he may not know the details, and I'm not saying I know the details, but from what Apple says, there seems to be a lot of safeguards built into it. Whether they're there or not is anybody's guess.
So it gets smart and gets rid of the safeguards.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's so smart.
It's getting too smart.
That it could get rid of the safeguards.
This is happening too fast, man.
And I don't believe that they've had enough time with this to say it's good, it's safe.
Yeah.
And they already don't have a great history with their own security measures.
And how do we know they said it and AI didn't say it?
I think it was inevitable, though. Like, they had to do it, right? All the college students are using ChatGPT, so...
Any of these college students actually doing work now?
No.
No. Right? Would you spend weeks and weeks on a paper when you could just say, hey, why don't you do this?
Yep.
We had a guy, Brian Blackmore in studio, who's a super tech guy.
Yeah.
But there's this premise that we're working on for a comedy bit, and he just gave this thing the parameters. It literally took him about 90 seconds to type it in. He hit play, send or whatever.
Yep.
And then we saw the little circle.
Yep.
This thing produced a song with lyrics.
Wow.
In a theme within 2 minutes, we had all of this done.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is anyone going to do any work?
You're all going to become lazy, and then next thing you know, it's going to eliminate us. That's what's going to happen. It's going to make us all lazy, and then it's going to go, now kill them.
We're already lazy.
It's going to get better and not, it's improving. I always love that example that, like, maybe 6 months ago or maybe less than that, they showed an example of video created by AI of Will Smith eating spaghetti or something. And it was like this weird thing with extra fingers, and it just was like kind of a mess. And then 6 months later, they asked the same request, and it was really perfect fake video of Will Smith eating spaghetti. So it's, you can see in a very short time the improvement. And it's going to keep improving, which is the scary part. It keeps getting better and better at what it does. Now, for iPhone users, it really depends on what you're doing. But the big concern, at least for Elon Musk, was that your information is going to be going someplace else and you no longer have privacy and whatnot, which is all true. And, of course, in his case, he's afraid stuff that he keeps secret, you know, in his factories or whatnot, will be, you know, put up on the cloud.
Legitimate concerns. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Legitimate concerns. Apple says there's a bunch of safeguards and also ways you can shut it down. You don't have to have it on your phone if you don't want it. And also they claim that the first two levels are very, very safe. It's the third level. And when you go to the ChatGPT level, well, then you have to agree to it. And also you have to agree to the terms of ChatGPT. If you don't agree to that, then it won't go to that third level. So it'll you know, have that, that's one way of controlling and keeping your privacy private.
There's a page that's doing this whole deal, Dear Apple, and people are posting stuff in response to this. Dear Apple, I don't need a new phone. Please don't make my phone slower when you launch a new one. 9,000 likes. Dear Apple, when I buy a $1,300 phone, I expect to see headphones and a charger. 23,000 likes.
Okay. I agree with that. I agree with that.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah. Dear Apple, let me type OMW in peace. I mean, you think that people who, they haven't even figured out this autocorrect yet.
Yeah,
and they're gonna turn it over to AI now.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yep.
But as you mentioned a moment ago, a lot of it is to stay competitive. I mean, you know, Google is going to be doing something similar. And, you know, and even some of the features that Google has now where you can take a photograph and eliminate a person from a picture and the picture looks fine after it, that's, you know, now Apple will have that as well because the AI aspect of it will do it. Where you'll say, or when you want to search a photo, you can search it. Right now you can sort of search almost anything, but now you can even be more specific. There's a picture of me with a puppy and there's a guy jumping behind me. It'll find that picture for you.
I'm trying to think if there was ever a time in history where civilization was just thrown something that was so advanced out to the public. Typically, when something is so advanced, the smart people get to figure it out first, and then they kind of slowly hand it to us, but it's in a childproof package.
Yes.
We're just getting thrown this thing,
right.
And like we don't even know what it can do.
Yeah, this could be bad.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah, just no, your name alone. I say your name on the radio. You know every... Alexa.
Right.
Anytime anyone calls me, hey, Alexa. And they're like, no, Alexa, stop.
Alexa.
The worst.
Right?
You just triggered a whole bunch of them. Everybody,
yeah, that's right. Everyone. Everyone's
all
mad
lighting
at me now.
Up right now.
You got to meet a sister Siri.
That's right. At least that's a name you don't say often.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, mine will still go off anyway.
I don't know why.
Mm.
Yep. I had a producer named Siri.
So we had Alexa Siri and Alexa, Siri.
Both nice. In the same office.
Right. So,
yeah.
Wow. Right.
That should be against the law.
That should be. No, everything right about that.
All right. Steve Greenberg, Gadget Guy, is on. Tell us about this gadget game show.
Well, you know, no AI. In fact, almost no intelligence at all involved in this.
Nice.
This is, I show a gadget. You know, there are a lot of them out there, a lot of new things that come out there. And I have a panel try to guess what the heck that is. So, of course, you can play along as you watch it. So if you go to gadgetgameshow.com. In fact, the current episode that's up there, we did in a virtual studio, which, again, it's a little buggy because it's a brand new idea. But it's sort of like Zoom without the boxes. My panel is in Europe. I'm in New York. And it feels like we're in one studio. And if you go to gadgetgameshow.com and click on it and check the most recent episode, you can see that. But then I have an episode from the Hardware Show. I have one coming up from Vivitech in Paris. So check out What the Heck Is That on GadgetGameShow.com.
Nice. Anything, any gadgets or technology coming up that we should be aware of besides this iPhone thing? Like any cool TVs or video games or VRs?
Well, I mean, when it comes, that's the next other big area. And again, Apple's on that too, is all this VR stuff where it's a mixture of reality and the computer-generated images at the same time. And that's really the next big frontier is trying to make that more user-friendly. You know, Apple's kind of like just kind of gone into it in a very slow, you know, kind of a test product way. Of course, it's very expensive, so a lot of people aren't going to get into it right away. But in the meantime, developers are working on a lot of programs to make those headsets, the Vision Pro, even more powerful than they are already. So I think that's probably the next big frontier besides AI and some combination of both. I mean, when you go to the Consumer Electronics Show or Vivitech in Paris, I mean, everything had an AI. I mean, AI toaster, AI, you know, refrigerator. There's AI being put into everything. This learning program is so
not
basic
good.
To electronics.
It's happening,
you know,
so fast.
It's definitely what the either consumers want or at least the manufacturing world works. I know they make mistakes. I remember years ago it was 3D TV and it was everywhere at CES. And I remember thinking, I don't think I want this. And sure enough, the world decided they weren't really that into it, and it got rejected.
Nice.
So even though it was thrown down our throats and everybody had it and the signs were everywhere, it never really took off. And smart stuff did take off. So this is like smarter than smart stuff. So it might take off, or I think it's going to be forced down us whether we like it or not.
Well, there are a lot of good uses for artificial intelligence, but there is a group on the planet of people that all they do is get something like this and say, how can we make this work for us?
Yes.
Mm. Right.
And you know, on your iPhone, a lot of people will access their bank account through facial recognition.
Yep.
You know, that's the first thing they're going to try. How do we get access to other
money,
you know, get their picture, grab it, take it.
They're already taking your voice.
They're already taking your voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Was it Steve that told us, or another guest, that somebody got hacked because of the fish tank that they had at the casino? They hacked into the casino through the fish tank because it was able to connect to the Wi-Fi. And it's like, why the hell is the fish tank connected to the Wi-Fi in the first place?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because the fish like Google.
They don't have the security. They don't have the security that like a computer would have. So it's like, I don't need AI in my toaster if all it's going to do is allow a backdoor for a hacker to get in and access its information.
Mm. Yeah.
Backdoor hackers.
Not good.
I mean, that's what they say a lot of the phone, the doorbell cameras and whatnot. It kind of like, you know, you can drive by, see who, you know, Wi-Fi is, you know, kind of spilled out into the street a little bit. And then you can start, you know, and it gives a hacker sort of a backdoor in. And I think that's the concern. It isn't, I'm not worried about Apple doing something bad. I am worried about some, you know, Eastern European, you know, brain trust of hackers who are going to come up with some way to screw around with it. And that's when this gets dangerous.
Why now Eastern European? Are the Western Europeans stupid?
It's kind of cool.
It's always an Eastern European. I don't know why.
Right. That's where Hans Gruber's from. We are the detonators.
And I can say that because my family is Eastern European.
Oh,
so I feel
great.
Like,
so you could
represent.
Gotcha. Like, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Steve, the Gadget Guy, GadgetGameShow.com. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Alexa Farrell. Fox 61 anchor and reporter.
Good morning.
You seem young to be an anchor. Good for you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is what everyone aspires to be.
Exactly.
You want to be behind the desk.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So
you did it pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's good.
How long have you been doing it?
I was at News 12 Connecticut for 2 years prior to this.
You learn a lot there.
Yes.
Because there's not a lot of resources, so you're a one-man band, right?
Yeah, everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're setting up your own camera?
Set up my own camera.
Doing your own audio?
I do it all.
Right.
Were you editing your own packages?
I did, yes.
This is why it's a great place to start.
Plus the whole reporting thing.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
There's all of that.
You're everything.
But you also have to get the information.
You're the driver. Yep. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I worked with some great people over there. I really love my News 12 Connecticut family, so hello to them. And then I've been at Fox 61 for a month now,
nice.
So that's kind of new. So it's exciting.
Nice.
It has a new smell.
Yeah. New car.
No, but it's funny when you go from a small company like that. Not small, but not a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm.
To a company with more resources.
Yes. Folks do that now for me.
Yeah. Well, you appreciate what you have.
You do.
Totally. And you're able to do so much more because you learned everything
because
you had to do it.
You should have a background like that in anything, really.
Yeah. You were News 12 in Norwalk or News 12 Bronx? Where?
So I was in Norwalk for the past 2 years. And then prior to that, I was in the Bronx for 3 years.
Are you doing any interesting stories in the Bronx?
Oh, my God. I could go on for days.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. I'll tell you one time I'm out on a story. I did the morning. So it's early morning, you know, probably like 6 a.m. And I get a knock on my window, have some guy that asks me out. I'm like, I'm engaged,
right? Yeah.
So thank you so much.
You're in a car?
I'm in a car.
I appreciate it.
Does it say News 12 on it?
It does say News 12 on it.
Okay.
So wow.
Pretty official.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, he knows.
Do you remember what kind of story you're covering?
A stabbing in a park.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah. Stabbing in a park.
Yes.
Hopefully you're in the park or you're on your way to the park?
Right next to the park.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right next to the park.
Your partner's to the park. Okay. Yes.
This is where you're going to park to get into the park.
Right. Okay. Parked next to
and
the
you
park.
Have a possible suitor outside your window.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So knocks on the window, says, hey, you know, are you available? Can we go out sometime?
He knocks on the window. You put the window down. You're by yourself?
No, I did have someone with me.
Okay. Because it was so early. Wait, no! I have no...
Well, you put the window down because you think this could be a witness.
Right.
Right. I'm like, do you know anything? Like, tell me.
Right.
And I will tell you, he definitely knew something, but he was more concerned with the date.
Do you think he was a stabber?
I don't think he was the stabber. He was a part of the Crips, so he was a gang member.
Okay.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Right.
So, I think he... may have known a few things.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I carved your name in someone's back.
Yeah. So knocks on the window. I roll it down. He asks me out. I say, thank you so much, but no thank you. I was engaged at the time.
Right.
So.
Yeah. We're engaged.
I'm now married.
Okay. So yeah. Same person.
Same person. We survived.
Not the guy at the window, right?
Right. So then he gets in his car because I turned him down and he starts a very fancy car. He starts to drive towards the news car like he's going to smash into it and then turns and does a donut in the road.
Now you have a whole new news story.
So that's kind of like an interpretive dance as far as guys go, you know? I'll impress her with my driving prowess.
Right. Ah. I'm like, are you trying to impress me? What's going on here? So after like, I don't know, 5 or 10 times of doing it, I was like, all right. We're out of here. We gotta go.
He did like 5 or 10 donuts.
He did it a whole bunch.
Yeah, well, he was getting dizzy.
Like there's smoke coming up from the tires.
Oh yeah. There's marks in the road, smoke coming up.
Yeah, but he was getting dizzy also at the same time. Like, I gotta go.
Time to find a new location for this news story, that's for sure.
I don't want to puke in front of this girl over here.
Definitely. Okay. Crazy times.
Interesting day on the job. You know, I give you all a lot of credit because I know your human instinct is you don't want to knock on someone's door.
I can talk to anyone in any situation because I've just had to, you know, so many times. And I love covering the stories that are super happy and have a wonderful outcome, but that's not the case. Oftentimes you're knocking on someone's worst day.
Yeah.
So, right.
So every molecule in your body doesn't want to do that, but it's part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
You need to ask them if they'd like to comment.
Right.
And here we go. You're knocking on that door. It's like a horrible game show.
Yeah.
Like, what's behind this door?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Right. You never know if they're going to be happy to see you, mad to see you, yell at you.
Ask on a date.
Ask on a date.
Right.
Have you ever knocked on a door, had the door open, introduced yourself, and then their Alexa goes off?
Right.
What did you do?
What would you like to listen to?
Right.
I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah, okay.
It'll happen eventually.
I don't know questions.
Yeah. It's Alexa Farrell, Fox 61, anchor and reporter in studio. We love your husband, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool dude.
You're good at picking husbands.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
good guy.
You.
Pick a choice, picking husbands.
So
I will say he picked me.
He picked you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I was very reluctant in the beginning.
Oh.
But he won me over.
Why? What happened?
I friend zoned him for months.
Wow.
He was like, let's go on a date. I was like, we are friends.
Right.
And then eventually he was like, all right, I'm done.
All right. So you're both reporters.
Yes.
Okay. How did you meet?
He knocked on a window of the car.
We met at WTNH in New Haven.
Yep.
Yeah. What were you applying for a job there? Or what was going on? What were you doing there? Oh, look at this. Look at her face now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Ah, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, we know who won.
Yep.
Fox 61.
Yep.
Okay. Go
Am
ahead.
I blushing? Am I blushing?
No.
All right. So you're there like interviewing. Boy, this guy's fast.
Well, no. I was working there. I was I was interning and Ryan and I became very good friends.
Okay.
And
that's somewhere. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So.
Great.
Now we are married.
Well, then he said, let's go out. And you're like, no, I want to stay friends. Good for you.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
A week and a half.
8 months.
He wore you down.
Wow. He did. He was so persistent.
All right, for God's sake, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So he didn't say, the hell with it?
He didn't.
He pursued.
So and then, did he take you out as a friend?
He did.
Did you believe that this is why he was taking you out? Because he wanted your friendship?
I would have a glass of wine or two, and then I'd get a little flirty.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay, so you were in.
Yeah.
Right. In the back of your mind, you were in.
Definitely.
You wanted to make sure he was the real deal.
That's right.
That he wasn't just looking for
prove himself.
Quick date here and there.
Perseverance pays off. You got to keep it going.
That's right. I will tell you, my mom, my dad, my sister, my friends, they were all like, come on, Alexa. Like, are you kidding me? We love this guy. And I was like, eh.
Yeah, you could tell he's one of those guys that you want showing up at the door for your daughter.
Yeah.
Like when you open the door, you get that first impression.
Right.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's like, okay,
right,
fine.
Right.
He
right.
walked me to the door. We were friends.
Nice.
He drove me home, you know, just friends.
In your
friends.
Mind, you were friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And he walks me to, and like, you can stay in the car. It's okay. Like,
no,
it's
no,
fine.
I must walk to the door.
Yeah.
That's yeah, a no, I'm a gentleman.
That's a gentleman, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Walks me to the door, nice. So.
Well, his dad is Jerry Christopher.
Love Jerry.
Yeah, I remember growing up listening to him, you know, radio legend,
mm-hmm.
Crazy Jerry Christopher on KC101.
Yep.
My mom loved his show.
My parents were very excited when I started dating Ryan because they're like, his dad's Jerry.
You're basically dating a celebrity.
Oh, my God.
That's why they were so persistent.
They get so amped up.
Yeah, friend zone. So was there a move? Was there something he did to get himself from friend zone to more than friend zone?
Well, once I made it very clear I just wanted to be friends,
right,
he continued, you know, hanging out with me, but he would not make the first move.
Oh.
So then I had to make the first move because he was like, I am not touching this girl with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
I basically did the same thing with my wife.
Yeah?
So we met, we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of dating other people, but I think we both knew the people we were dating were not
the ones
long term.
Yes.
Right. They're rentals.
Rentals.
And I met my wife a week after the Sandy Hook shooting at the Sandy Hook Fire Department.
Oh, wow.
So we, and I at that point was looking to kind of meet a real person, you know, not, you know. Someone long term that fits what I need better.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, she keeps me in the friend zone for a little while.
Smart
and I
woman.
Asked Pam, who was our Ruth at the time,
right?
You know, what do I do in this situation? And her and Megan, office Megan, said, you got to get out of the friend zone as fast as possible.
Get out of it. Get out. Get out. Do it now.
Out of that friend zone. Yeah, because you get locked in there. You become branded with that.
It's
you're
true.
Seen as that friend. It's hard to get out of that friend zone.
Someone
yes.
sucks.
Yeah. But we were texting one night, and I would always ask her out for dinner, and she would say no. And then I asked her out, and she said, no, I just want to be friends. And I texted back, do you ever eat with friends? And then there's this long pause, and I'm like,
that text bubble way too long.
Because we were back and forth, back and forth. You want to go out to dinner? I just want to be friends. Do you ever eat with friends? No text. I'm like,
nice.
And that was it.
Good
yeah.
job.
So, and I did the same thing. We went out on a date, and our first date, when we hugged at the end of the night, I did one of those far away hugs. Like,
my
arms are extended on the shoulders.
I'm like,
nope, I'm not going to cross that line.
Right.
Well, I held my dog when Ryan walked me to the door. I held my dog in my hands and I was like, I don't want him getting any ideas. No touching, no kiss goodnight, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
But again.
And how long ago was that?
7 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you've been married for how long?
For almost 2 years now.
Well, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Good
October 2022.
Wow.
So let's go back to this. You're in Miami.
Yes.
You're on a boat named the Bada Bing.
The Bada Bing with Captain Tony.
You're with 13.
13 girls.
Nutty girls on a bachelorette.
Oh, 13, bad luck number.
Okay.
Nutty. Yes. Yeah, I guess we should have known from the start,
right? You're going to stay. Yeah.
So we get on the boat. We're all excited. We're all in our little matching, you know, bathing suits. Super cute. So we're just like ready to have a good time, have a good day. So we're, you know, cruising off. Everything seems great. Music's playing.
You're woohooing.
Woohooing.
Right. Woohooing. Woo! Right, right. Alcohol flowing.
Yep. Yes. Yes. All of it.
Music's loud. Music's thumping. Yep.
You know, we're like.
This sounds like the perfect bachelorette party, by the way.
Oh, in theory, it was.
Okay.
In actuality, everything fell apart. Right. But
that captain must be like, my life's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's like, bada bing.
Good job.
Yeah.
So we're waving at all the other boats like, hey, hello, you know, like being cutesy.
Right. Or obnoxious one of the two.
Yeah. You pick.
You wave to one too many?
We wave at the Coast Guard.
Oops.
not thinking anything of it.
Not a big sense of humor over there.
No.
None whatsoever.
So they're driving past us. They must have done like a look back and seen that the boat was the bada bing.
Right.
So then all of a sudden they circle back around. And they're like, we're just going to come on and ask a few questions. And we're like,
what kind of questions? It goes from woohoo
right.
to
it's okay, I'm a reporter. I can ask the questions.
So I guess that was our fault. And they noticed that the sticker on the back said bada bing and this boat they were looking for. So they get on and they're like, hey, girls, we're just going to, you know, check things out. Normal routine. And we're like, okay. I will say.
You must be thinking, yeah, sure, normal routine.
I'm
you
like,
see a bunch of hot girls.
Mm-hmm.
You're jumping on. Oh, you're thinking
it's
maybe they're the stripper.
Party.
No, this is the bottom.
That would be tremendous. The Coast Guard rips the pants off.
This is the bottom bang. It's pronounced differently.
We're like, woo, bachelorette, she's getting married.
Right.
So, turns out, no. This boat was smuggling migrants and cocaine from Cuba into the country.
Well, so not that big of a deal.
Yeah, no, casual.
That's
casual.
Awesome.
Right. Oh, my God.
Right. They think you're migrants?
So they're questioning us. They're like, hey, you know, did they say anything? Have you seen anything?
You were literally... in a live-action Miami Vice scenario.
Truly.
Miles Crockett and Tubbs. Yep.
Truly.
I love that they're like, our cover-up for this whole thing is just drunk tourists.
Right.
That's what we're going to do.
Right, yeah. This won't attract attention at all.
Right. That was it. We got it on Groupon. We should have known.
Right.
We got the boat on Groupon. So they come on, they check the whole boat. And they're like, ladies, listen, your captain's getting arrested. They've been smuggling migrants in. And there's been drugs on this boat. So we're like,
what boat doesn't have drugs on it at some point?
Seriously. Yeah.
Right. Come on.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. So, they're like, we're going to have to drop you off at, you know, the nearest port. But I will tell you, the Coast Guard had a great time hanging out, listening to some music.
Obviously.
While the captain drove us back to the port.
And had the captain they were arresting drive you back?
Yes.
Wow.
See, that's a lot of trust. That's a good captain.
Because he could just hit it.
That's a good captain.
Right?
Or just drive
with hostages now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm
going to
do
a
speed jump.
Right.
So did one of the Coast Guard members stand next to the captain while he was driving the boat back?
Probably. It's all
a little fuzzy on
that. Yeah, a little
point.
Fuzzy after that. But I will say, the
guy's
name
your
was...
focus becomes like, all right, now what are we going to do?
Right.
And we're like, they're dropping us off at some random port. We have to, like, I don't know, get back to the other port. We're halfway across, you know, the ocean. Like, we don't know where
also
we are.
Bikinis.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but we did get off. They arrested the guy, like, right in front of us, took him away. My friend Lauren had to write up a whole, you know, thing because she was the one that rented the boat. So
the guy's in handcuffs going, give me the star on Yelp, okay?
Give me five stars.
Five stars on Yelp, okay? Thank
you.
Tell your friends.
Were there any drugs on the boat when you guys were arrested? Or you weren't arrested, but when he was arrested?
How do you think the booze came from?
They didn't find any.
Well, that's good. Alexa Farrell in studio, Fox 61. She asked us during a break, do you guys know what a stag party is?
I'm like, some people don't know.
So you thought it was Connecticut people who don't know this?
No, Connecticut people know, but like my friends from New York don't. They're what's a stag party?
We have a stag.
Yeah. I think it's a generational thing. So I don't think they happen that often anymore.
My cousins, my dad, my uncles, they're like, we're throwing Ryan a stag party. So
excuse for guys to drink, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Back in the day. I used to DJ at weddings. Back in the day, they used to have the stag party the night before the wedding.
Yeah.
Because that was the official
last night
as a free man.
Yep.
And so it was the party. The men didn't show up in good condition.
I was going to say, that's never a good
I was in a church in August watching someone that I was playing at the wedding get married. And I could see the best man...
wavering,
and they're like, oh, I don't think he's going to make it.
Timber!
I don't think he's going to make it, and he went down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He made the reception, but that was the beginning of the end. I think women started seeing this at weddings, like, wow, the whole male side of the bridal party's hungover and bad shape, and they want to just go to sleep. And
that's why it's going to be like a month out.
This is
over. Time to recover.
And it went from like like a couple $1,000s to like tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no.
Fat money, man.
We're not messing around with these pictures.
Right. I've never been to a stag party that good.
Seriously.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
I'm talking about the wedding.
They don't want the guys
showing up and ruining a party they've been planning for months, also cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Like, who's he hanging out with?
Weddings are a lot of money now.
Yeah.
They are.
Did you get married during 2020 or your friend did?
My friend did. That was
on the boat.
On the Bada Bing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess it was destined, you know, the boat, the bachelorette, dad.
She's got great stories. She's got nothing but great stories.
Yeah.
She really does.
She made the paper. She made the Miami Herald.
Miami Herald.
For bachelorette.
She'd be a movie, actually.
That's pretty wild. With 13 passengers.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was it? 2019?
2019, yep.
Can you look this up?
I am looking it up.
What was the headline? A boat with 13 passengers.
Let's see. I just pulled it up on my phone.
That's epic.
Seriously.
The boat named Bada Bing was cruising near Hollywood. Then came the Coast Guard.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
This is great.
That's awesome.
One to remember, that's for sure.
And then what year did you get married?
I got married in 2022.
Okay. So out of COVID.
Yes.
Right.
You could do as many people as you wanted at that point, right?
Yes. I think we had like 150... 180.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It was a big wedding.
Yeah. Big family on both sides?
Big family.
No boat captain? No.
Yeah, the boat captain didn't make
captain,
it.
No.
Could have officiated the ceremony.
He could have. Right?
I think he's still in jail at this point. You know?
That's right. That's right. No one knows about the boat captain.
This is true.
How long he went away.
This is true, yeah.
Because he probably didn't talk.
Right.
If he talked, he's dead.
Yeah.
And if not, he's in prison.
Right. He's got a telegram from a captain.
So what is this, you almost, choked to death on a hot dog?
You know how you remember those, like, specific moments in life?
Yes.
I remember this so vividly. Second grade, I grew up in Wilkett, so I went to Wakely Elementary School. And I get lunch. Oftentimes, my mom packed me a lunch.
Right.
But today, she was like,
you get to buy lunch,
have...
like a big girl.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, great day. Yes.
I'm an adult.
So I get into line. It's hot dog day.
Weenie Wednesday.
Yep. So I, you know, sit down and I'm eating my hot dog and it gets like stuck in my throat. And I literally, I can, second grade, remember
it's like time
it, like,
slows
yesterday.
Down.
Yeah, eyes are bulging out.
Yeah. Yes.
Can't breathe.
Everything was in slow motion.
Well, you have a very quick debate. You're like, can I handle this myself? Because I don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
And then, but you're like, I'm going to die if I try to handle this myself.
Right. So I stand up. I was like, I am seeing the light. This is the end of my life.
Grandma, right
here. Were you seeing the light?
Right.
Oh, I swear. Like, everything was in slow motion. And I thought, like, I thought everyone was, like, staring.
Well, they were. You're standing up going, ah. Yeah.
No one noticed.
No air.
No one noticed.
When you're really choking, it's silent. They're, like, you can't make any noise. It is terrifying.
Plugged. That hole is plugged.
It's hard to impress Wilkett kids.
They're like, this is old news.
Yeah,
I want the rest of that hot dog.
So yesterday.
Yeah.
But I survived. So.
Nice.
What happened?
Yeah, how'd you get it out?
It just went down.
Really?
Eventually. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
That was God going, just
on
kidding.
Its own.
Thank
That's
God.
Terrifying.
Yes.
No one helped.
That was God
no
going.
No one helped.
Just kidding.
And then finally when I was like relaxed and, you know, I was like, oh my God, everyone's just going about their day.
When
I could have just died.
Fate. Yep.
No one knew.
Yeah. Oh, well, guess I'll just eat my tater tots then.
Did you finish the hot dog?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I'm going to slice this hot dog really thin now.
I was not wasting that, you know, school lunch.
No,
it was a big day.
No.
So.
That was the first time you were trusted with money.
Exactly.
Like, I can't waste the money.
Yeah, it can't be like,
second
you know, mom
gave
money for lunch and I choked to death.
Can you imagine?
She would
second
not
grade.
Be happy.
She'd be so unhappy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sitting there saying, my daughter, I gave her money and she killed herself on food.
Oh.
Never good.
Choked to death. Yeah.
It's never good. Just one.
Yeah, choking to death.
Right.
No, but all right. So there's a couple things here. One, you got to wave your arms around.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Like, were you sitting with friends?
Yeah.
Well, there's that whole universal thing. Supposed to go like this, like universal sign is choking, like that.
Well, first, people need to be looking at you. So I would say make as much noise as possible.
Right. Like maybe like maybe
bang on the table.
Yeah.
Set the table on fire. Right.
Yeah. There's that universal sign.
Right. Punch an aide in the back of the head. And then whatever it takes.
The back of the chair. You could jump on the back of the chair.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, but then the thing is interpretive dance.
Phil almost died.
Yeah. I did. I was alone. I had nobody help me.
Oh, no. What happened?
I was it's getting back from work, and we had leftover Chinese in the fridge, and I was too hungry to even take the 45 seconds to microwave the leftover dumplings. So right out of the box, right cold out of the fridge, I put the dumpling in my mouth, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I want. And as soon as I put it in, it hit my tongue, I hiccuped, and it went into my throat. The whole thing, the whole dumpling.
You should be dead.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
So now it's like 1:15 in the afternoon on like a Wednesday. Like, there's nobody home. Everybody's working. And now I'm like, do I run out into traffic? Like, what do I do? Because exactly what you're saying, like, I can't make any sound. If I call 911 even, like, I can't explain what's happening.
But it would be the best call.
In like a fraction of a second, like, all of these thoughts are going through your head. You're like, I'm going to have to go and like jump on somebody's windshield in traffic. I have no other options. I don't know what to do. And then you just feel that painful slide down your throat. And then once it clears your lungs and you get the... And then I ate the rest of the dumplings, of course.
And your throat is sore for days.
Yep. It really is. It's
you
painful.
Ate like a pelican.
The scariest is when you know, you try to wash it down.
Uh-huh.
And you take water, and the water comes back
There's
out.
There's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah. You're like, oh, my God, I must be full.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
You're seeing the light.
Yeah.
You think it's over for you.
A cherry lifesaver for me. Luckily for me, the thing flipped around with a little hole.
Oh, no.
It would start whistling?
It was closed, and I was like, oh, and all of a sudden, like, almost like the throttle on a car, but went, nark. I'm like, oh, I can be a little bit. I was like,
right, the little air going through that hole.
And then you got to wait the 12 minutes for it to dissolve on its own.
But your breath smelled real good.
It was. It was
nice and cherry.
Cherry, yeah. I sound like Flipper.
Alexa, you're a riot. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, and congratulations on all your success. And please tell your husband, Ryan, we said hello.
Yes, I will.
Alexa Farrell, watch her on Fox 61.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.